just got this simple piece of paper today. No big book. How are you today, Uncle Andy?
Good.
Good.
That's good. Is that the wrong way to say it?
No,
I'm good, man.
It's just a funny way to say it.
I'm good. I enjoyed my week.
Yeah, we had a good week today.
We had a good week today.
Yeah. Yeah. Not this week, just
today. No, we had a good week. It was great.
The week was good just today. Yeah.
Loved my week.
On that note, big thanks to the podcast people. We had a bunch of podcast listener players come down this week, which is pretty sweet.
Players too.
Yeah. It was great. This is what I like about the podcast. I was talking to one of the podcast dads today, and he was saying that because we're going to have like a little, or continue to grow like a little community, the pool of kids that will be participating with us is going to self-select for kids that want to be here, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're on a local camp and mom and dad sign the kid up. Maybe they don't really want to be here, whatever. But when you're coming from out of town, that's like a family discussion. You know what I mean? That's like a
good
point. We need to decide, do you want to go to this really?
Yeah.
And you really got to map out, or as the parents, is this really worth our time and our money to stay there for a few days and go through this camp? So I actually really like that element, because it's going to end up self-selecting for kids that want to be here, want to learn. Parents that want to be here want them to learn.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that was probably my big takeaway from this week, is seeing that in action, because all the kids that came from out of town are great kids and no shit.
Yeah.
Right. So that was nice.
Yeah.
What did you think about this past week?
No, dude, I loved it. It was for some reason this particular age group that we did, they were like 14U.
Yeah.
And 15U.
Yeah.
It's a really good age. I love working with that age, by the way. But it was for some reason there was like a bulk of them that were podcast listeners.
Yeah.
That I worked with some of them through the podcast privately and stuff but they're a really good group, so just fantastic. And I'm gonna say what was told to me by most of the parents. Said the kids absolutely thought it was the best camp they've ever been to, and the parents that were watching said that, like, a couple of them said, like, we would never seen anything like that good and that intense. And then one comment to me was like, you were he goes, you guys are like all hockey. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, like, I've watched it for a couple of days now, and it's like, you're all hockey. It's all about hockey. It's all about, you're on the ice, you're in the gym, it's like everything you guys do is hockey. I go, yeah. I like he seeing the podcast, he was like, you kind of think that because that's what we do. And I said, no, like, you don't understand. Like, well, now you understand. When people that thought they knew me, and then they come to a camp or they see me in the arena, they try to get a hold of me, it's like, after they see a day or so, they go, you are always on the ice, eh? Like, yeah, that's our life. It's hockey. But anyways, he goes, it was the best. He goes, and they're coming back. Like, they're so happy. The things that the neat, interesting things were the little things that they picked up on. Like, they go, like, all the things that you do, it's like you can see how that works in a game. You can see, oh, there's a purpose to that, or you see a progression of a skating to a stick handling. We didn't do a lot of that stuff, but the drill flows into a next to the next that makes sense into hockey. They said, like, where we're used to going to things where it's like just a bunch of drills or pylons and stuff. And then they were so impressed by both on ice and off ice of the amount of teaching and instruction. And I said, well, this is what I'm saying. Like, this is the point that I've always tried to say when I talk to people, because I don't like to, like, this is the most bragging I'll ever do. And tell people how great we are. This is the most I'll ever do. It's like that. If you are going to a camp and you're not blown away by the instruction and the attention to detail and the progressions and the stuff, then you shouldn't go, or you're wasting your time. And that's what they all were saying. It's like, wow, this is a lot different.
Yeah.
Right?
I got the same comments.
Well, I know. It has to be the same, because we're the same, only different.
I know. And I said the same thing you just said, to them in my little side conversation with them as well. It's the same thing. It's just like, you know, we've been to this camp, and it's just like a bunch of crazy, whatever it is in whatever area they live in. And I said the same thing. It's like, yeah, like, we do this. This is what we do. And like, we genuinely try to make your kids learn. Like, that's actually what our purpose is. We're not just saying it. Like, we're not just pretending.
And like, that was the words. They said, just like the way you talk on the podcast, you guys are like exactly that in real life.
Yeah. Like, so,
it is what it is.
And if we miss, which we're pretty good at not missing, but if we do miss, we're, you know, that we're genuinely trying our best. Like for me, for example, just with the off ice workouts, like maybe there's something I'm doing that isn't the optimal way to do it. And maybe in 2 years, I'll discover the way to do it better. Well, you know that for right now, even if I don't know the optimal way, I'm genuinely trying to do it the best way that I know how. And your kid is not going to be shortchanged in terms of time or attention or anything when they're here. So they can walk out of here with some actual information, like actual things that can help them when they go back to play for their team in their area, you know?
Well, it was just, I just had a conversation with one of the out of town guys, and he was saying, okay, so what does he need to work on? And I said, well, here's the thing. Like, this is what we're saying. We're missing the mark, right? Or are you, or are you not? You're not, I'm saying this for your benefit. You're not missing anything. I know that for a fact. But as the next couple of years progress, as you're as smart as you are and as much as you study and as much you apply, the next couple of years, you're going to get better. And how I know that is because I was the same thing when I first started my business. I wanted the best, the most, whatever. But I've evolved so much into, so if I did a camp that I did 23 years ago, I wouldn't want to do that camp anymore, except for every now and then. You evolve and you get better. And so anyways, this one dad was asking, like, what does he need to do to get a little bit better? I said, actually nothing. And it's like a surprise. I said, that's not a cop out. That's the answer. Not really much, because the skill level is pretty good. But I said, I'd lie to you if I say his skating's good or he didn't need it. So his skill set is good. Is it fantastic? No. So you got, and you're 14 or 15. So you got to continue to work. So that's a given. I said, all the stuff that I see is away from the puck. It's the hard work when you don't have the puck. And that's, you know, so you could do all the skills that you want. You just go ahead. That's never going to hurt you. But it's like, there's not, if I give you something to specifically work on right now at 14, it's fine, but it's going to be the play without the puck. Of course, keep shooting pucks, keep skating, keep stick handling, but understand the game away from the puck.
Yeah, and it's hard to
that's
see.
That's the honest answer, though.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's hard to see that or take that to be the reality if you don't really know the game and you don't know where it goes later, you know? Because we know where it goes later, we can rewind it to where those kids are at now and give them appropriate advice. But if you're mom and dad and it's your first kid going through it, or you don't have experience with sports or fill in the blank with what you're missing, then you don't know where it goes. So it'd be hard. Like if I try to relate to where the parents are at, it's hard to put myself in that position where it's like, I don't know what happens in 2 years. I don't know what happens in four. I don't know what happens in six. You know, you come to a place like this and it's like, we know those answers. Like we've seen this, we've seen you, you know, you used to give the example on trying to, you take a face off against Patrice Bergeron. It's like, he's seen you before. Like
he's seen
a thousand of you. And so talking to somebody like you, and now as I have continue to train more and more players, I'm getting up into that realm too, where it's like, I've seen this, like I know what happens in this situation, and people can actually get real information that can be helpful, you know? And then the other element is they get to be around in the environment that actual hockey players are around. Like their guest speakers today with Warren Clark and Ryan McPherson that just got drafted to the NHL. It's like, where are you going to get a better, especially because they're young kids still.
They're not that far removed from me and them.
Right. It's not a guy that's a 15-year veteran in the NHL where it's like, that's cool, but how does it relate to me now? It's like, you can see Warren Clark just got cut from Brooks Bandits last year. He didn't make a team. He just got drafted to the NHL. He got cut from a team, right? Ryan McPherson, same thing, got cut from Ottawa. It's like, that was 2 years ago when that happened. You know, it's like right there still. So you can see that adversity. It's fresh in their mind. So it's just awesome. And it's great when you get people around that get to experience it and appreciate it. And then we get that feedback of, you know, they're enjoying, or they feel like we're on the right track with what we're doing. Not that we necessarily need to hear it, because we know that that's what we're doing, but it's nice to get parents and people to see that. And you can just,
you know what,
see
though, you say that, and for me, I mean, it's common. I get it all the time, but it actually is good for me, because when people give me that really good feedback, because if they don't give me anything, that's fine too. But when people are that happy about things, it's good for me, because let's, no bones about it, I'm not as young as I used to be.
Oh, no?
Yeah. So, like, sometimes I, in my own head, like, I'm being vulnerable right now. Sometimes in my own head, I'm wondering, like, because I don't have the wheels that I used to have and not ripping a puck the exact same way I was even 5 years ago, it's like, okay, is that the wow factor more important? Because that's a lot of people buy the wow factor. But it's good that people could see that the quality of what we're teaching is way up there.
Yeah, and that's a really important point too, man, because you can get, if you get a skills coach that like used to play or not even, and they're just really good at stick handling or doing drills, like there's guys on social media all over the place that, and there's skills trainers that we know of that are like that, where it's like they can handle a puck or they can skate and they can go around things and jump around and all that. That doesn't make you a good coach, and it doesn't mean you're teaching hockey, you know, and that's a really important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Hey guys, my name is David. For the last roughly year or so, I've been a member of the PowerTech podcast, and I've trusted Eric and Andy to help me as a hockey dad raising my kids and trying to figure out the answers. I don't have all the answers, and it's a great source of information, and it's an area where I feel comfortable leaning on to help me make better decisions. With that said, one thing I do know about is supplements. I find it's hard to navigate the whole supplement world and make sure that you're using products that work, that are effective, and again, are science research based. Blue Star Products, incredible brand. Their products are based on research, science, the products work, trademark patent ingredients, and you can find all of the research just by scanning QR codes that are right on the back of the product. Thank you to Eric and Andy for their podcast. I think it's amazing, and definitely give Blue Star Products a try.
Anyhow.
Yeah. Should we move on here? We're doing our last episode this week of the coaching series, mini series that we've been doing. I accidentally printed this sheet really big. So
no,
if you guys
I don't need my glasses, maybe.
Yeah, I know. So
yeah, I do.
So this is our sixth episode. So next week we're going to do a Q&A. So you guys have another week where you can drop us some questions in. For people that are members on the site, if you want to ask some questions, you can become a member to do that. When you log in, there'll be a button and you can send us some questions in. We're going to do a Q&A episode after this one, which is episode number 6. And we're going to be talking about overcoming conflicts from the coaching perspective. So dealing with conflicts, overcoming them, handling them, whatever term you want to use. This is what we're going to talk about. So I kind of broke it down into 3 different categories, and we can see kind of where we go. So obviously there's player issues, parent issues, and then maybe a little bit, if we have enough time to go through it, because I don't feel like it's that interesting, but worth talking about maybe is if you're the coach, issues with your organization or the people that are maybe in charge of you or scheduling things for you or whatever it is. So I want to start maybe with the player side and kind of see where it goes. Before we get into specific topics though, maybe you can just give from your coaching experience, just some whatever thoughts about just conflicts in general. So, as the coach, like it's basically conflict all the time, more or less, because people are never happy. So maybe you can just start on some general things, about maybe an attitude that you could have as a coach dealing with this stuff, or how you, thought about it before we get anything really specific. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, like you just said, the one thing is that there's conflict is unavoidable because you're dealing with a whole bunch of people. So that's a given. Conflict as a coach, you're going to have parent conflict. That's unavoidable because you know that the bottom line, I'll probably say this after, is that it's not about everybody liking you, because it's not. I don't think it's possible, actually. Don't think it's possible. So you're going to have let's just break it up into thirds again. If you're a good coach or good with a good human being coach, you probably have a third that love you, a third that, yeah, whatever, and a third that can't stand you, and for various reasons. So you know there's going to be conflict, and you just know that, and it's a sport, and you're dealing with people's kids, or you're not. If you're coaching junior or pro, you're still dealing with egos and stuff. So the conflict's there, it's unavoidable. So I think a lot of the times you need to just, let me go this way. You're either going to deal with it or you're not. And I think that's an important distinction to make. And I think it's important to be able to deal with conflicts and have some boundaries or not. But I would say have some boundaries of what's appropriate and what's not. Because if you open the door to people at any time, then they'll abuse that. If you shut the door totally, then it tends to make things a lot worse. So you have to kind of welcome it. And that's one of these things where unless you like conflict, not the greatest, not the funnest part of the job, but it's going to happen. So then I think that you have, again, just like if you go into it, when you're coaching a team, you have a theory or a identity for your team. You go into a practice, you have a theme for your practices. You have games, there's certain things you want to work on. I think it's the same thing when it comes to your policies with dealing with people. It's there's you know, lines that you either are willing to cross or not, but you lay it out early. So, for example, this is not, this is, I know, I'll just skip this part. I'll talk about that after.
Okay.
So, does that make sense?
Yep, for sure. So, I think two things for me before we get into the specific things. It's like one of those dichotomy things. So, there's two things that I thought of just while you were talking is, as the coach, you're not trying to please people, but you're doing it in a way where you're not being a dick, if that makes sense. So, when you're laying out your team rules, or if a parent comes to you with a complaint, you don't necessarily have to cater to that complaint, but you're not trying to be an asshole coach either, or an asshole person even, because I'm thinking of personality types of people that used to coach me, and you always say the arms crossed, eyes crossed, nose crossed, whatever kind of coach, and you want to be, I don't know if sympathetic is the right word, but sympathetic to people's problems, where you're hearing them out, but there's a line where it's like, you don't have to necessarily cater to what they're saying. You know what I mean? You have something to say?
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah, that's a really good point, because it's like sometimes less is more, or more is less. No, but like, so if you get the coach, because this, you just triggered something there. So you get the coach that has all these rules and regulations and the meeting and all this stuff, and he lays out this, like every point that you lay out could actually add to another piece of conflict. Because you said that this, or you know what I mean? So that's like maybe one of the reasons, I'm thinking in hindsight, but I didn't really have parents meetings. I had like 2-3 rules maybe. And after that, we just dealt with things. Because if I said, okay, if someone's late for practice or you're not there an hour before, you sit 3 periods or 3 shifts. And now all of a sudden that's a rule. So one guy does it and you don't give him the 3 shifts or missed a period. And another guy does it and you do. You see what I mean? You're just creating conflict and things for people to look for. Just creating all those kind of rules and all that stuff. Already you have someone sitting there, oh, this guy sounds like an asshole. Right. Or, you know, all that stuff. So it's like, yeah, that's what I mean. Less is more sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So, and then the other point I was going to say is when you have your philosophy as a coach, you want to be able to like kind of stick to your guns as the coach. But you also need to be able to change if something comes your way that is worth changing for example. So like if you have a certain philosophy as a coach and you lay that out to begin with, but then it's not really working for your team, well, if you just keep hammering that same philosophy for the rest of the year and it isn't working, then that's kind of a recipe for more conflict, kind of to your point. So it's kind of along the same lines as what you were saying, which I didn't really think of it in those words, but that is the way, I think that's kind of the moral of my story with these two points is just you want to be careful that you're not introducing more conflict. So you have to be able to do both sides of things a little bit in order to make sure that things are balanced, because if you're just one way or one thing all the time, then it's going to be a conflict causer, even though you're going to cause conflict no matter what, because you're the coach. So I want to just start with that before we go to the player issues. So now maybe starting on this, I want to start with kind of the big one with the players, player conflict, because I think it's deserves some attention and we've talked about it before. But the easiest one to start on is kids picking on each other or like bullying within the team, especially younger ages, but even older, getting to junior, whatever, same kind of thing can still happen. And then like, where is the line between the like dressing room style banter where guys are just poking fun and it's all good? And then where does it now become a problem? So I think that's the first conversation I want to have, because I think that's worth exploring again.
Okay. So I got a question for you. Do you know what the first thing I said when I take my first group of kids on, you know what the first thing I tell them? I'm asking if you know.
Like the respect each other spiel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is why. So, and I would do this if I had a team. So first thing, I'm just going back beginning of the week, I got these kids from out of town. I got kids that don't know each other. I got some kids that do. So I know from experience being a hockey player, being a coach and doing this for the last 23 years, that there's easy targets sometimes, right? And guys that know each other can gang up on kids, and they might not even do it on purpose, but it's easy to gang up on kids or to the new kid to be quiet and not really say much and then not feel comfortable. And that's really the point I'm trying to make, is doesn't feel comfortable enough around the new guys yet. So that's my spiel. First time I ever have a group. So that's what I said on Monday to these guys. I said, okay, listen, first I said, hi, I'm Andy. I'm glad that you're at my camp. I pay attention and all that stuff. But I said, here's rule number one. When you're at this camp, I want you to really understand this. And I mean this, this is the one thing that'll piss me off. If you don't have respect for other people. Okay. So when we're here, we got to understand that if everybody would like to move on to a higher level, that at some point in your hockey career, if you move on to different levels, that you're going to be the new guy. You're going to be the young guy, the new guy, the different guy, the awkward guy, something when you go to a new team where you're very, very uncomfortable. And if you go to this team or this event where people don't welcome you, nor, like, I'm not saying anything ridiculous, but like, hi, how you doing, and include them in drills and stuff like that, or in, hey, we're eating, come on over, the basic human form of being nice, then that person could be very uncomfortable. So I said, I want you guys to get along, even though we're going to do a lot of competition, but we need to get along. And because it'll piss me off if someone walks out of here with hurt feelings because they just didn't feel like they belonged. Okay. So that it's better than this though. The point, the reason that it's so important to learn that at a young age is because if you do move to a different level of hockey, you unavoidably will be the new guy. And I've been to camps. I've never had an issue with it for myself because I knew how to keep my mouth shut and, you know, stuff like that. But I've seen guys just get absolutely destroyed because maybe they weren't the cool guy, or they were just quiet, right? Or you have a bunch of assholes, like a dysfunctional team. So what happens is that kid comes to the team and they feel like shit. So if you've ever been the new guy on a new team where you moved away from home and all those things that add up, and you're not feeling very good about being there, then like, it sucks. So if you're the one that's doing the picking on people, like, or ganging up, or just not being including, I don't want to say including like that weird way, but these part of your team are part of the thing. It's just human being a human. If you make someone feel bad or not good about themselves, then I don't hope that you get it back one day, but I kind of do.
Yeah.
Because in hockey, that will happen.
Yeah, it's coming.
So if you're like, so that's my point, is if you're the cool guy at this camp and you're okay with someone feeling like shit or not that comfortable, because it's easy, right? It's easy to do. Then I do, your day's going to come that you're going to be the new guy. And you're going to go, oh, I can't say much because I did it to them. So my point to that is, you have a team now. I'm a coach of a hockey team, and that is actually rule number one. Like, because there will be things, and that, you know, you explain that to the kids is, yes, you don't have to be the best friends all the time. But when we're a team, we're a team, and I want, you know, you have to make each other feel like they're part of the team and in included, and you don't have to go hang out at each other's house, but that stuff. And then if that, so you're eliminating the conflict before it happens, but it's a major one, right? So if the conflict does happen, it's addressed, and it's addressed harshly, right? Because they're teammates. And so how do you get the message across? Like, why would anyone really care? If I'm an asshole kid, why would I really care? Well, because then you explain the purpose of a team. What is a team? How you make people, how a good teammate makes people better. And this still might not be, for the asshole, that might not really matter. But for, in general, for most of the guys, you create a culture of that team environment, and show them what a team is and why a team is and how a team is and all that stuff. That's gives you a much better chance of avoiding some of the conflict, but it's definitely more addressable if you lay it out.
Yeah, because even for those asshole kids, if even just for purely selfish reasons, if you're not a good team player, you won't be successful in hockey. So even if it's, even,
well,
if you're,
say that again.
So even if for, like, for the asshole kid, if you can't be a good team player, there are exceptions.
Yeah, I was going to say, just
unless you are one of those exceptions, which you're probably not, but if you are, good for you. But most guys, if you're an asshole and you're not a good team player, it just hurts you at some point. So even if just for purely selfish reasons, you understand the value of that team dynamic and including guys and being respectful and those things, it's only going to serve your best interest. So if you're being purely selfish, it's still a good idea to follow those things. Like, it's never a good idea to be the asshole guy. Again, there are exceptions to that rule. But for the most part, unless you're the ultra super talented guy that can do whatever they want and it doesn't matter because you're just that good, then it's going to come bite you at some point. And it's funny because even with this camp, like through the last week, I'm always like, I always got my ears on. Like, ears are always on. So like when kids are walking, like we walked to the hill today to do the workout, and I'm just listening, just hearing the conversations going behind me. And you can hear the tone, like when kids are being little shitheads, you know, and they don't think anybody's listening, whatever. But that's why it's important as the adult. It's like you're hammering these little things home, you know, just trying to make them better people. And that's a respecting your teammates, respecting your coaches, respecting whatever, the facility. Like, we gave them the reminder about the garbage today. I did that every time we're anywhere. It's like, you're not leaving bottles around. You're not leaving crap around, because that's just not what you do.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what you do.
So speaking of the teammate thing, ironically enough, I was just reading, I'm rereading Mark Messier's book. And I don't know if it's a rereadable book. For me, it is. Because I see a lot of leadership stuff, like, amazing. Anyways, he was talking about the Oilers when they became like winners, right? And said the guys were really tight. They were all kind of drafted and grew up together. Then they traded for Kenny Linsman. You remember Kenny the Rat Linsman? Oh man, what a player. Loved him. But like Brad Marchand, but kick you in the face type of guy. Yeah. So he got traded to Edmonton, and the perception on him is either just a weird guy, leave him alone, he's different, right? So Messier was saying he's not different. He goes, and this is what Messier said. He goes, in that room, they learned with the Oilers, that championship team, and he did it obviously with New York when he was there, is that you sometimes people are just misunderstood and you got to give them a chance. So he said Kenny Linsman wasn't a bad person. He was just like different. Yeah, he had different. Like, they'd go on the road and he wanted to go to art museums, and they'd be like, what? He always had a briefcase because he did real estate development and all these different things. He'd go out at a. So, anyways, Messier told him, he says, listen, this team is tight. You have to do things together. He explained to him that our community in Edmonton, he goes, they love the Edmonton Oilers and we have to love them back. And he didn't say that, like, we have to, like, it sucks. He goes, like, being part of the community in this smaller center, it goes a long way. Because they want to understand us and we want to understand them, basically. So he says, you need to come out with us at certain times. And, you know, so he did his kind of his own thing and stuff like that. Never really said a lot, but he said, what we realized after just a short period of time is he wasn't a jerk. He was just a different breed. And he says, once you understood him, it was okay. So he said he wasn't a bad person at all. He was actually a pretty good guy, just different. So that's sometimes from one of the greatest leaders in hockey. It's something that I think every hockey player should understand, is like, just because someone's different, maybe they're just misunderstood, and maybe you can figure it out after a while if you give them time. But the point was, easy to say, well, this guy's weird, let's just keep him out there, but they brought him in. And for Linsman, he had the best years of his life for a hockey player, and, you know, off the ice, it was good.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm thinking about myself now when I played, because I think I was a little bit of that. But like, I was properly socialized.
I understand, yeah.
So I was like, I knew how to behave in the group, and I knew how to pick my spots to go with the guys. I wasn't just like a weirdo. But I'd be curious about people's perception of me. Like, I'm on the bus on the way home studying, not hanging out with the guys
you're
at
weird.
The back of the bus. Like, I'm the weird guy.
You're a weird, you know, hockey, I mean? Player when you do that.
Yeah.
Crazy as it sounds.
Yeah. So I realized that at the time that it was happening. It's like, I knew, like, this is different. Nobody's doing this but me. I know this is a little bit weird, whatever. Even like with food stuff, like I'd bring my own food, stuff like that. Like, it's just, you're the weird guy. But I always tried to make sure that I was fitting in with the team things, because then it was like, okay, yeah, he does his own thing, but he's still cool, kind of thing. Right. And not that you need to try to be cool and try to please other people. And that's not what it's about. It's just being part of the team is what it's about, you know? And fortunate for me, I was 22, 23 when that was going on. 21, 22, 23. I'm already an adult. But when you're a kid and you don't have that maturity yet, you haven't gone through that growth yet, it can be really, really damaging. And I remember the same thing with certain guys when I played junior, where it's like just unrecoverable damage because they just didn't know how to fit in with the group. And that's one of the things that can take a lot of kids out. And like, back to the conflict thing, that's where you can start to see guys ganging up, picking on, bullying, whatever. So even if you do what you said to start that conversation, even if you have that all laid out, you have the spiel at the start of the year, when the conflict happens, what are you doing as the coach now when it comes to your attention that there's like something going on?
Well, then it's just addressable now. It's like, you know, they like you've laid that out, yeah. Right? You've laid that out. It's like telling your kid if you like a little baby, if you, or not a little baby, they can't walk. If you tell your little kid there's a, you are not allowed to do this because, and then they choose to do it. So let's say these four and he decides to go get the ball on the road and you're not allowed to cross the street unless mommy and daddy say that you can. So you have to come and see us, right? First of all, what mommy and daddy's letting their four-year-old play on the lawn and the street. So like alone. I'm a bad dad, yeah, right there.
Alone.
But if that was to happen and you caught them and then you pull them in, like you can address it now. I told you, right? So it's just that it's really, to me, it's that simple. Here's the conflict. We're addressing this and this is not happening on my watch, right? Of course, I'm also of the opinion like, well, if you're watching and you're seeing what's going on, you have a better pulse on it. But if it's just, there is two sides to every story, so you have to listen to two sides, but you're addressing it both. And yeah. It's like, this is the team. It needs to be this way. And there's consequences for being a jerk, especially those.
Yeah, and so you've talked about this before, so you can maybe just touch it again quickly. So you use the example of like the nerd on the team. So like I'll use myself, for example, I'm the nerd on the team. And I come to you saying like, hey, coach, and maybe somebody else comes to you because I'm too scared to come tell you or talk about it or whatever. But however it gets to you, they're saying, hey, like these guys are picking on nerd guy on our team over here. So you kind of you used this example before. You talked about like how you addressed the guys doing the picking on and then how you address the kid being picked on or whatever. So maybe just run through that again quick because I feel like it's kind of the same topic. Yeah. That would be good to touch on again.
I just want to clarify because there's people out there that use every freaking word because people love this what we're talking about right now, what we'll call it bullying or picking on. People love to pick sides on this. And if some people have zero tolerance for any bullying, which is bullshit. And I'm not talking bullying. That's exactly not what I'm talking about. And it was almost any bullying is bullying. No, it's not. Anyhow, if there's something going on with your team, how do I address it? Is that the question?
How do you address both parties involved?
Okay. So, right? So the nerd, let's say the nerd that likes you're on my team. You have your books, you have your food and all that kind of stuff. You come to me with, yeah, man, I'm just not feeling comfortable. Okay. I would say, okay, Eric, you know what? Honestly, you're different than these guys a little bit. You know, God bless you that you have the discipline to do your homework. God bless you that you are smart enough to wear a toque when it's cold outside. God bless you for having chapstick because you took care of, like, it's cold. You might get chapped lips and you take care of all that shit. Like, God bless you, but no one else does that. Eh? You know that, eh? You know, when everyone's telling jokes and you're reading books, like it's different. So you're the guy that stands out. So you're going to get a little bit of something. And I'm not saying to change, but just make sure in your nerdiness that you, like you said, what you did is because the team is having the team bus has pizza and you don't want it, you brought your own food. Eat your food and all that stuff. But while the boys are eating, grab your stuff and sit around and eat with them, and you're not excluding yourself. Like, be part of the team and the team meals. No preaching. You know, if the guys say it, you just laugh. Like, you know, you're such a, like, really, if you have pizza, are you going to get fat or you're going to die? And you just laugh. You say, no, I'm actually worried about it. So, you know, shove a carrot in your mouth and laugh with them, right? If they're making fun of you because you're reading books and all that stuff all the time, you just kind of laugh with them and say, I know, guys, I'm the dummy. I'm the dummy for reading, right, and studying. So that's part, and just, you know, so you give them a little bit of tools and ammo to go with it, and then just show that, yeah, tools and ammo to go with it, get along. And then the guys that are being idiots, you pull them aside too and basically say, like, do you guys think, like, it's a good idea to pick on one guy on the team or to point out that one guy is eating healthy? Like, you know, just point out where their stupidity is, and just point out that, like, when someone's different doesn't make them bad. When someone's a little bit different, it doesn't, you know, maybe just, like I said earlier, maybe try to understand it. But and then just let them know that there's a line that cannot be crossed. little bit of jabbing and stuff like that is certainly fun for the team. But if it ever gets to the point where you're excluding the guy on your team from doing things with you, or you're actually getting to a point where it's hurtful stuff, and everyone's got a different tolerance of hurtful, which is another thing that you address. Like sometimes you got to tape an aspirin to it. You know, your feelings might get hurt or something once in a while, but if you're that different, like expect something. But anyways, taking care of both sides, right? Addressing both sides. And then if one continues, or either one, if they just one won't bend, well, that's kind of your problem now.
Yeah. So I think you can take that line of dealing with the problem and scale that to whatever age appropriate that works. Cause that's more of like a higher level example, but I think that's important. And on your point about the bullying stuff, and here's like, guys, we use the word bullying, not meaning like the worst bullying.
Oh, I
ever.
Hate the word, by
yeah,
the way.
Right. It's like, it's very vague. There actually needs to be a level of guys poking fun at each other, because it helps build resiliency in the group. Like, it's actually an important thing.
It's a dressing room,
right? But it's not just like, it's a dressing room, deal with it. Like, that's not what it is.
I know.
It's like actually part of developing as a person. Like, you have to be able to take a hit, man. You have to be able to take a jab. You have to in life. If you just want to be successful in life, forget hockey for a sec. You got to be able to take a jab. You have to. So if I'm the coach, I'm letting some of that stuff go. I'm letting some of that stuff go, because the kids have to be able to take one and give one back and be able to bounce back after that. You know, when it's not the extreme case that we're talking about, where a kid is really not having it or whatever, right?
Well, some people are so sensitive. Like, for example, people that are very insecure, they can take a compliment as that you're making fun of me. Right. Like, hey, Eric, those are nice pants. What do you mean? Those are nice pants. Well, what's wrong with them?
Exactly.
They're nice pants.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I mean, right? So that's like, where's the line of picking on someone?
Yeah,
whatever,
exactly,
right?
That, because you can't define the line. There, you have to let some go, man. Like, there's got to be some of it. So I think it's important from the coaching perspective, is it's not you're exterminating anything that resembles making fun of each other.
So,
you know?
So is the line now, like, now that you think you don't have to take a compliment, so like now the joke could be like, I'm being like as soft as I possibly can here. So is the joke now in the dressing room every time you walk in, say, hey guys, don't mention anything about Eric's pants, eh? Because he's gonna freak out. Like, it's, we're horsing around. That's what, like, and then it snowballs. Yeah. So are you picking on him? No.
Right. So that's a good one to start with, because that's probably the most popular topic, at least controversial topic for some people. For some reason.
I don't know.
For some reason. Next one I want to go to is talk about if players are in a slump. So from the coaching side, if you have an individual or more than one even, that they're in a slump, or if the team is in a slump or on a losing streak or whatever. So you can deal with those two situations separately or together.
Yeah, no, it's the same shit, different pile. Address the elephant in the room, as they say, right? Guys, we're going through one here. We're going to get out of it right now. Eric, you look like you're squeezing the stick a little bit. Let's get out of this right now. So one could be a mindset, right? So it could be resetting the brain. It's thinking a different way. Maybe you're thinking about it so much that you have to let it go. Like, that's the psychology 101, mental toughness 101, is living in the moment, not dwelling in the past or the future. And typically when you're going through slumps, or as a team or as a player, it's like you're thinking too much of either or. If you stay in the moment, probably a fixable solution. So that's number one. Not every coach is a psychologist, and neither am I. But yeah, that's the basics, right? I just wanted to clarify that. Right? You know? And so that's that. Then the next thing is tactical. Like, that's the next thing, is how do you get out of it, right? So whether you're an individual or a team, you go back to basics. So live in the moment, go back to basics. So as an individual, Eric, you're in a slump. What are the 3, 4, or 5 things that make you successful as a hockey player? Do it and do it well. Don't overthink. You don't need to score more goals. Just do the basics. A goal scorer that's in a slump, don't worry about scoring the goals as much. Do your habits. Do the 3-4 things that make you a good hockey player. Maybe it's because you're not doing the defensive side as hard enough. You're not around the pucks, right? So do the 3-4 things that I always talk about that identify you as a player that gives you success shift after shift. Don't worry about the goals as a team, okay? So sometimes, and by the way, everybody at some point goes through a slump. And I'm not saying that you won't score or you're not going to win, but you take the best team and you might be, you know, just scraping by some of the wins, or your games where you win 5-0 or 4-0, maybe you're 2-1. So that's like a different type of a slump. It's just you're in a lull, right? Every team has it at some point, and every player has it at some point. So that's where it's like, get in the moment, understand that this happens all the time. It's not the end of the world. And there's action steps, right? And the action steps are those tactical things that you do, 3-4 things that make you a great player or a team, and do them. And that's so you're identifying it, and then you're applying what you know how to fix it, yeah, by tactically going back to basics.
Yeah, I think the tactical part I kind of want to stress for a sec too, because I think the easy, from a coaching perspective, maybe the easy out is the guys, we have to work harder. Guys, we need to, you know, get back to playing our game and like these kinds of things.
Yeah, so they're words.
Yeah, like they don't mean anything. So the action steps is the most important part, like of breaking a slump or a losing streak or whatever. It's like you have to do something. You can't just say words, you know.
Your car breaks, you can't just hope it gets better.
Yeah, you know. Right? So you can say to a kid, hey, make sure that you're living in the moment, son. It's like, what does that mean for a 12-year-old?
But this is why, as a coach, it's so important. Like, you give yourself a chance, right? It's like, if you don't teach kids or understand that, that's why reading a book or understanding like the very basics of psychology or mental toughness or whatever, that's why it's important, so that you can actually understand and live it in your own life. Like, living in the moment is an actual important thing. So how do you teach that to people? It's like, okay, like, it's every shift. It's like playing your shift or doing your thing that you're doing at the time, and then when it's over, refocusing and go to the next one. But whenever you're doing something really well, do it. And then the tactical piece, like, I can't overemphasize this. Like, I don't know if I could say it enough. Every coach should be able to tell a player, and a player should be able to tell a coach, what they are good at doing on the ice, what makes them successful. I'm not saying score goals. That could be a thing, but it's more the habits of a player, habits of a team, so that when shit does go south, like the Navy SEALs say, it's not, you don't fall. Basically, your success is the depth of your training.
You fall back to the level of your training.
Yeah, but there's a different version that they use, but it's like basically that, like your basics, right? It's the thing that you do day in and day out that help you win as a person and as a player. That is gonna, the deeper and the more you understand those basics and master them, the more that you're gonna have success when you're in a slump or in your just everyday life, right? So when a player understands that, okay, I need to be a hard forechecker because that's my thing. I need to finish a hit, that's my thing. I need to shoot 3 pucks a period if I can. In my D zone, you have 1 or 2 things that are like critical. I got to get back to that X spot and clean pucks out, like get clean exits out. If those are your 4 things that you have to do, it's not, you're not asking yourself to change the world. You're asking yourself to do habits that make your team win. If everyone does their habits, your team is as successful as they can be. Individually, you're successful as you can be. So coaches that don't take the time to identify with kids what their actual strengths are that make them a good hockey player, and players that don't do it, then you have nothing. You know what I mean? You're putting air in a tire. Well, you're not even doing that. You know, you have to have the base to start from.
Yeah. That was a very thorough answer, by the way. That was good.
Was it?
Yeah, it was great. Seriously, I don't have anything to add, but that's why I wanted to punch that, the tactical, practical, whatever the term is you want to use, because without the action step, you're just saying things, and a lot of coaches just say things that don't mean anything, and it leaves players unsure because you're not giving them specific things. You know, it's like we were talking about with a couple of the talks that we had about kids starting to get a grasp on roles, not that you have to have a role when you're 13 or 14, but just you need to know what you're good at. Like, what are you actually good at? What are your strengths as a player? You know, and I find just from my own experience and then from other talking to players, it's like no one has said this to them before. Like, no one has ever talked to them about this kind of stuff. And it can be super helpful, because then when you do get in a slump or you get in some kind of a pinch, you can fall back on those things, exactly what you're saying, right? So that's a really good strategy for just dealing with it in general, right?
Like I said, I can't overemphasize it. I think you're doing the players a disservice. Listen, man, by doing that one exercise with every player, it's going to take you, let's say you're a youth hockey team, you got 16 guys on 18 guys, okay? It's not even an hour, kids, so it's not even 18 hours. It's probably not even nine. It's probably about, kids have an attention span of a gnat, so you got about 10 minutes a kid. It's, 180 minutes. That 180 minutes invested in, here's what I think of you, here's what you think of yourself, this makes sense, let's go. That gives you ammo for the rest of their life. Yeah. And conversation pieces, right? If you ever stuck talking to a kid, here's just a simple thing, right? You're a coach. He's like, I don't know. I'm not really a good motivator. I'm not really, I don't know. Like, if you're doubting yourself, you could always pull out the page and say, oh, okay, we're going to go through this again. Eric, just come in the office there after, or go meet me in the hallway. So, hey, I just pulled out your identity thing. How do you think we're doing? It's a conversation. Kid goes, oh yeah. I forgot. I'm supposed to compete.
Yeah. Right.
Right. It's not about goals. Remember, it's about this, and this.
Yeah.
That's all.
Perfect. I'm gonna switch gears to the parents here. I've thought of two because there's probably a million within these two. But we'll just talk about them in general because we talked about the parent stuff quite a bit. First thing would be handling complaints. So if a parent has a complaint, whether directly to you, you hear it through another parent or through someone else that a parent has a problem. Some teams have the liaison person, you hear it through that. So let's talk first about addressing handling complaints. And then we can talk about at the extremes. Like, so the parent that's crazy versus the parent that never says much. And how you would address those, like, different personalities as parents too with handling certain conflicts. So that's one. And then the other would be like parents fighting each other or like cliques on the team and this kind of shit causing issues. So start with the dealing with complaints first. So if a parent comes to you with hey, Johnny's not getting enough ice or whatever, and what your philosophy is on that and how you approach those kind of conversations.
So not everyone's the same, so I'm just saying what I rather have. I'm not a I'm not a real conflict lover. I'd rather people be happy and get along and have common sense. And I'd rather, if I had a problem with somebody, the coach, whatever, I'd rather confront it or be confronted. I'd rather that any day than people yapping behind my back. That's what I want. So for me, that would be my thing. Is like, if you, so that parent liaison and 24-hour rule, like, I don't mind the 24-hour, like, wait a little bit before you let the emotions simmer before you freak out on someone. And it actually is not a bad tactic. You know, when people have time to stew on their thoughts, it's like, okay, maybe I'm nuts. But I'm not a big fan of the liaison thing because it deflects, you know, you're getting third party information. You're getting someone that's all Joe tough guy to you, but you can't tell me, or, you know, it's like, whatever. I would just rather hear it. So as a coach, if you have an issue with me or with anything going on with the team, I'd rather you talk to me so that you could hear it from me and I could hear exactly what your issue is. So that's me. Other people, I guess, I don't know. I guess I can't answer that for other people, because I think if you go any other way, then you're dealing with, uncertainty and what the story is. So then the next thing is that you want to be as truthful as you can about things. So that's where the conflict can get goofy, right? So if you come to me and say about ice time, you go, I'm a wussy and I don't want to say all the truth. That, no, he didn't deserve it. Or no, you know, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Whatever. But if I don't deal with it in truth, then it creates different conflicts. So I got to be able to have the ability to have an adult conversation and tell you how I feel or whatever. If it's seven times a week, it's too much. But if it's about other parents, if it's about certain things, like, I'd rather just hear it so I can deal with it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. So it's always, you start with that conversation and you just always default to the honesty piece. Try to be as truthful as possible. because then if you don't do that, you get the backhand issues of you said this, but now you're doing this, or people talking about what you said or whatever. And you know, it's funny because if you're as truthful as you can be, you don't have to remember what you said because you're being as honest as you can be, and you don't get caught. You won't get caught in any stupid things that make conflicts worse, like you pointed out earlier when we were talking. So that's good. What about, I have literally no experience with this at all. So I'm actually just kind of asking because I'm curious. Have you had any issues where there's like parent cliques that are causing shit?
Yeah. Like there's always that.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'm going to like, I put a stop to it. Like it ends with me. Like if someone talks, like, because I've said this 1,000 times on our podcast with, you know, the first, like every year someone comes up and goes, coach doesn't know what he's doing. Right. I don't go there. I don't go there because first of all, as I've always said, no, he does know what he's doing. Played professional hockey. You don't know what you're doing because you didn't, but you know what I mean? He does know what he's doing. So it ends there. I'm not into that shit. I don't like that because it's too easy to do and to get into those things. But I will say that it never stops. It happens on every team and it never stops. People love it, right? Conflict. But what I really noticed over the years is that people are like the sneaky guys. There's so many sneaky little guys that are just, they come and talk to you and they're just always looking for something. And those are the guys, and they'll talk behind anyone's back or the coach's back, and they're actually agendas that they're trying, and that happens a ton. So, like, I understand some coaches that refuse to talk to parents because they've been through some of this too much. It's like I have zero time because I know that 30% of them are like that, so I don't want to actually take the time to figure out who they are. Screw you. I'm the coach. Your kids are going to play. You're going to do it my way. I get that to a certain degree. Just it's not my style. So yes, but there's a ton of that, and parents can cause a lot of shit. So how do you deal with it? You know, I don't mind having I say things the way they are. You know that. I don't have a problem saying that. Like I'm not sitting here Joe Tough Guy. Like I'm so upfront. I just tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a specific example. Just like what would you do in this situation? So if you got parent, it's not about you as the coach. They're just fighting, and you're catching wind that like these parents don't like these parents, and now you're starting to notice like whatever shit it's causing, like the kids aren't coming to the rink at the same time anymore. These kids stay over here, and these kids stay over here. Like little things where it's just like causing shit with the team. So is that like, do you call a parent meeting? Do you call the parents that are a pain in the ass? Do you just leave it alone?
Like, I leave it alone. Like the only thing that I would care about is are the kids on the team. Like I need that to be right, because you know, like Eric, I don't want to hang out with that guy, because he might be the guy that's a loud mouth. You know, all you ever wants to talk about is this U14 team, and every freaking minute of the day, that's all he talks about, and what we could have did that game. Like I don't care. I don't have to like any dad, and they don't have to like me. Right. So because then you're getting in other lines, right? Like if I'm the dad or the mom and dad that stand in their own corner, minding their own business, is that bad or good? Well, to me, it's good for maybe the coach and everybody wants to be together. We can cheer our kids on, or I don't know, something like that. So I stay out of mom and dad's way. You hang out with your own and you go talk about whatever you want. But when it goes down to things that are affecting the kids as a team, that's the line that I would cross. And yeah, that's, I thought I had another thought there, but
if they cross the line, then what's your move? So if they cross the line where now
it's affecting, hey, let's go, come here.
So you just like confront the parent.
Let's nip it. No, there's no, I don't need this shit.
Right.
I don't need this shit. The kids don't need this shit. And I'm trying to be the adult and the leader. What's the issue here?
Right.
What's the issue? Yeah. What's the problem?
Yeah. That's exactly what I would do.
So yeah, funny. like why is
what
this
are we talking
happening?
About, guys?
Yeah, what's the problem here? That's what it is. And then you know what but the problem is that mostly those people just keep going, oh no, there's nothing. Oh no, I never said that. So but it's anyways, you call them out. Like, yeah, no, if there's an issue that affects me or my team, then we'll talk 100%.
Yeah. cool.
No problem. And for some people, I know it's very hard.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people, it's very hard tough, to have man. Confrontation, and that's why, you know, and maybe that's why someone does need a parent liaison or whatever. But like for me, no, talk to me. I'm a big boy.
Yeah, that's why it's good. It's good to have a personality that is capable of doing that. Because like we have certain guys, like I know even guys that work for us that they don't like that. Like they don't want not in any. I'm not talking down about them at all. They just don't want the confrontation. They just don't like confrontation. But sometimes you need it.
I'd rather not.
Right? Yeah.
Right, like, exactly. Honestly, I don't like if we're having a conversation and I don't totally agree, I don't need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, cool. Yeah. That's how I am. Yeah, okay, cool. I'll live my life.
Right. Yeah. Until it starts to affect something that actually matters.
I really don't think if you try to control parents, you're in for one. It's a long one.
Yeah. That's a good
who cares who hangs out with who? Who cares? Because I wouldn't. There's people that would say, "Hey, would you like to come over for a summer barbecue?" And I'd be like, "My cat's got a sore paw. I can't make it today." Right?
I'm a nice guy.
I'm a nice guy.
I'm still a nice guy.
I'm just a nice guy, though.
Oh, that was funny. Okay, last part. Then we'll wrap her up. Issues with like your organization. So I don't know if you've had issues with this because you don't ever have to really recruit players, whatever, but I feel like you've talked to enough coaches maybe to have an opinion. One thing I've noticed is like teams trying to swipe players from other teams. So it's happened even locally with our AAA teams here. It's like this, like a coach is trying to grab a player from this team. This team is trying to get this player. So good or bad, what are your thoughts on coaches doing that kind of stuff, whether it's trying to make your team better, so you're trying to steal a player, whatever, like obviously that's putting it the negative spin on it, or positively, if it's like you hear that there's kids having an issue on another team reaching out and saying, hey, like if you need another place to play, like we have a team here, you can come play here or whatever, and working with kids to, you know, trade, for lack of a better term, through youth hockey. So what are your thoughts on those kind of situations?
It's hard for people like Eric. This question is hard because this only applies in certain areas. Do you know what I mean? Yep. So like in some of our Ontario centers, if you live on this street, you can't play for the team across the street because you're now in a different district. That's where that stuff plays in. On a bigger scale or a different scale, if you play in Toronto or Detroit, there's that freedom to move. So if you do the recruiting stuff in the middle of the season, start telling a guy to come over and play for you next year, it's like, it's kind of allowed, but it's not. It's just greasy in my mind. But that's me. I think it's greasy. Other people think, no, it's about building the best team that you can. So there's two sides to it, right? So if you live in the districts where you have boundaries and you're stuck, you're stuck playing for me. I'm an idiot. Okay. I'm a freaking idiot. I'm not a good coach. I don't treat people great, or I do, but you know, like I want to be a good hockey player and our team sucks. And because you live on that side of the street, you can't go play another team. It's like, I understand why people want to make that move. So it's kind of like they're stuck in a sense. And the frustration, like maybe you do have to sneak around, like that happens. I kind of get that to a certain degree. The problem that I have with in the district boundary thing is that most people just try to, not most people, that's the wrong thing. A lot of the times the people that jump from team to team is just because they want to be on the better team, or they have their problem people that they just bring a problem somewhere else and then they go back to that team because it's like kind of them. So it's a bigger topic that I think we can just kind of pinpoint. So now if you go, like when I coached in Detroit, it was weird because we had a great team, treated people well, treated people really well. Like I did, because they mostly stay in touch with me and they have nothing but good things to say. But yet I had a couple of dads and a coach from another team say, we're going to build a better team than this over here all behind my back. I didn't know that's how it went. I have a thing called loyalty or respect or honor system that I go, a code that I kind of live by. And I'm not sitting here saying that I used to be a priest or anything. I'm just saying like I've got some values and stuff. Like I'm pretty forthright. Is that the word? Forthright? Where's forthright?
Forthcoming?
Was no, like just like.
I think it's forthcoming.
I don't know. I'll get
I think the term you want is forthcoming.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up.
But what's wrong with forthright? But anyways, a set of principles, like you live your life in standards that I think is the right way to do things, but that's not everybody's standard. So who the hell am I, right? Yeah. And then so some guys wanted to leave because they're going to super team. And I was like, what are you guys doing? This doesn't make any sense.
Oh, you're right. Forthright.
Yeah.
Forthright is right.
I know that.
Straightforward and honest.
Yeah, straightforward and honest.
So what did I say? Forthcoming.
Forthcoming.
That's like upfront, kind of the same word.
Well, maybe it's becoming.
Forthcoming. Yeah. I got to know now. Oh, no, I'm so wrong.
Huh. You're an engineer, though. I'm a
willing to divulge information. That was the one I was looking for. So either or. But yours was better, though. Forthright was better, though. Yours is better.
Okay. But anyway, so guys leaving the team. My comment with that, I guess, in general is, from what I see, this is being forthright again. From what I see, most people, or the people that tend to change teams and all that stuff all the time, they have a higher opinion of themselves than they necessarily need to have.
Yeah.
I see a lot of kids that aren't the leaders, or the parents that aren't the leaders, like the fear of missing out, or they're not the leaders on the team, and they think, oh, I'll be better if I play with this guy and all this stuff. They don't put the onus on themselves. That's what I see. Like, I was talking to someone today, and it's like you're saying how people are leaving their organization up in the Waterloo area to go to play for a poor team in the GTHL. I said, yeah. I said, you know, whatever. What was my point? How did I lose this? Oh, yeah. It's usually, he goes, it's not the kid's not that much. He's not any better than anybody else, but he's got the opportunity to go play for a poor team. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but you don't have to. So we had, because right beside us was mom. And so because I said this her son was just drafted on a very shitty team. He got drafted from a shitty team. He went in the fourth round. So if you go 4 times 20 is 80. That's 80 picks. 80-ish picks. Yeah, I think it was 82 or something like that. In Ontario, North America? He's not. The team didn't get him drafted, right? They had another kid locally, fifth, a very, very shitty team. So it's not where you play. It's how you play. Take ownership for yourself. And I say this all the time. A lot of people don't listen, or they don't get it. Like, you play on a poor team and you're a good player, people will see it. If you play on a good team and you're good, they might see it, they might not. But either way, a good player will be noticed. So, like, all this stuff, I think it's that comes from up top, which means mom and dad. And ego or whatever. And that's where I see where this happens. I don't know if it's the organizations can or will stop it. And I don't know.
Just tying it back to the coaching side, though, if you are in that position,
what I do?
Yeah, like kids want to leave, or kids, whatever. Like, you use the word honest, and like loyalty, honesty, like those kinds of words. So how do you deal with that?
So how come you want to leave, Eric?
Yeah, there you go.
That's all I would say.
Yeah.
Because, and then I would, I if I actually cared, which I do, I would probably say, but like, do you think it'll be better there? And I, you know, I'll try to save that a little bit, but I'm putting about 13 seconds into it. You want to leave? Bye. And so for people that listen to that, I'm not trying to sound like,
it's not to be rude.
No, but I'm not trying to sound like, there's a message in that. If you really think about that, I don't want to play for you, or I don't like this. It's going to be better over there. I give it why is that? Okay, I'll entertain it. And then within 13 to 20 seconds, I'll say, okay, bye. Here's your release. Go see the thing. There it is. Think about that. I've done it. Right? And I told you about the one kid in Bell Tire that I did. He played on the national team. He played on a NHL, high NHL draft pick. His dad was kind of doing it. I said, yeah, here. And he looked at me like, what? I don't need you. Because just like this water's done, this might be a little bit funny, actually. When I'm done this water, I go like this. I'll have another one, please. That's what hockey players are like. I don't care. You're not that good. You are not that freaking good. You think you are, and your dad thinks you are, but you're not. So you go take your ass, go play somewhere else, and I'll get someone that'll go beat your ass next game or for the next season. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine. And that's where I think people forget that lesson is like, you aren't that good. You just think you are.
Yeah, and especially
so
at that
go,
level.
Go.
Yeah, there's nobody that's like not expendable.
Yeah, I'll take a kid that's not less than you. I'll work with it. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No problem.
And I think that's important too, because there's a lot of that stuff, whether it's open borders or not.
I need my glass.
You're gonna,
right.
There's a lot of that sneaking around stuff that goes on, because that even happens when there is borders, like people trying to sneak around and all that kind of shit, right? So it's important to, as the coach, it's just like the common thread through all this, honestly, with the conflict stuff is just like, cut the bullshit, really. Like, that's really the common thread. It's like, what is the bullshit that's going on? And like, can we just stop, please? Like, that's really what it is, you know? So however you have to deal with that as the coach, you need to be able to play whichever side needs to be played to stop whatever it is that's going on. And maybe it's releasing the kid. Maybe it's let the kid go. Who cares? Take your dad.
Go.
And leave. Yeah, you know?
Go, man. I love it. Go. Yeah. See you later.
So
you'll be back or you won't. Whatever.
Yeah, so last, these are just, I had like a couple ideas. I don't know if there's anything here that maybe is worth mentioning. So from the coaching perspective, when you have like high costs, like maybe it's tough for kids to pay for stuff. It's a kid maybe you want on the team. I remember playing with a few kids when I was young where the cost was an issue, but they're a good player and they want to be on the team. So I don't know if you ever had that problem where it's like there's a kid that can't pay for it or whatever. Thoughts about any of that or any like cost related issues, like kids can't stay in the same hotel because the parents can't pay for the
good.
Same hotel.
Oh, hey, listen, right? Hey, no. That's,
it's like any cost related topics.
Like those are, that's why another thing is like, I don't like too many rules because, or having too many events or these mandatory off parties, the mandatory that, cause I don't know people's lives. I really don't. You know, like let's just say, you know, for example, kids playing the OHL. My kid is, so I'm gonna use that for example. He'll be 17, so he got his license not too long ago. So if the organization said, how come Charlie doesn't have a car up here? Ooh, you know, maybe I can't. Don't do that to me, right? Don't ask that question. We're having dinner at the. We were at one tournament and one of the dads loaded, right? So we're going to go to one of those fancy Ruth and Chris. Is that what it's called? Ruth and Chris Steakhouse. It's pretty, it's a few bucks, eh? Across the, we're going to Ruth and Chris. And it's like, my wife and I could, but we're away for 4 or 5 days. We're not going to, because that's like an excess that's not necessary.
Extra $300 bill for
right,
no reason.
And I don't want to eat an 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock meal with a big steak, and I want to actually,
yeah.
But that's not healthy. But anyways, it was like, no, but it's like, that's like, you got to know your audience a little bit, right? Like the Ruth and Chris is not for everyone. Maybe Harvey's is, right? Or McDonald's is. So anyways, anytime you impose stuff like that, I'm not a big fan of that because, you know, like I said, if my son, if they said, well, he needs to have a car up here, it's like, no, he doesn't, because, you know, it could be, I can't afford it, man. Like I'm not going to go put a mortgage on my house to
car insurance, repairs, gas,
all that stuff. Like, but anyways, I'm not saying that's what a thing is. It's like, you can't ask that question. You know what I mean? That's not someone's thing. So with someone, the mandatory dinners and stuff like that. No. So staying at a different hotel. Well, you can't stay at the Hilton. You have to stay at a motel. What, like, we're all staying here. Like, no. You don't. That's not a thing. People have to survive and whatever that means. Now, there's also the other side is like, what if someone's just unfortunate and they just need help? Again, because I've seen this also, it's like sometimes you get people just playing the, I just can't afford it. I've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I've seen this.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, so what makes it, like, how do you know that, because they say it, how do you know this person is not? Like, so the giving part is another tricky one, right? So like, I think that needs to stay out of people's business, in my opinion. And if people can afford to take care of someone and you choose to do that, that's up to you. But I don't think it's not a charity either.
Yeah. So you're basically drawing the line between like, you're the coach and the personal. Like, it's not, you're not getting or imposing things on people's personal lives, where it's like they can't control
the
out, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's why that was one of the things that I always did with my teams. Like, not always did, but when we did things, it was like not a cost thing. Because listen, man, when I was coaching in Detroit, for example, like we'd be one weekend in Boston, following weekend in St. Louis, then in Detroit, then in Toronto tournament. Like, cost money, man. Cost money. So some people, that's money's nothing. So for some people, it's everything. We had a kid on our team. They had to drive. We'd play in St. Louis and Minnesota. Every other guy on our team would fly. Dad and him would drive. It's like, that's what they had to do.
Yeah. Fine. Probably about the same price now.
Yeah, really. Funny. Yeah.
That's good. That's an interesting one, the cost thing too. I like hearing that perspective, because that might be something that people don't think about really. And when you're like the leader as the coach, you can set the tone with those kind of things.
Well, listen to me, man. This is why another thing that drives me nuts, the business of hockey. This is why I do not like, and I know there's people that I know that do this or friends that do this, and I don't really care. You coach a hockey team, you coach a hockey team. That's what you do. When you start doing mandatory skates so that you can line your money, your pocket with another 200, another 500 or whatever, that's not right. Because you're taking people, you don't know what they have in their pocket. And it's like, if you force them to go to this, you're saying, well, I don't care what you have. I want it. You're the hockey coach. You're not the boss of my life. You know what I mean? Now, a lot of people get scared of that because they're like, oh, he's going to blackball my kid. I'm like, whatever. I never worried about it. Like, I didn't do one thing I didn't want my son to do.
Yeah,
we didn't do one thing.
Sorry to cut you off. One thing I want to add to that too is a lot of parents think that coaches have more power than they have, right? So it's like, I don't know any, very few minor hockey coaches around here. I can't speak for other places, but around here, very few minor hockey coaches that are actually going to impact the long-term trajectory of a kid's career. Around here, at least. For other places, I don't know. But yeah, it's like, if you're good, you're good, right? They're going to blackball my kid. Okay, if your kid's the best, the other team, I'll gladly take them. You know what I mean? The next team, I'll gladly take them.
Yeah,
no
like
problem.
I said before,
right?
Go.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It goes both ways, too.
Exactly. So I think
if you don't do this, you don't play my team. Bye.
Yeah, so you got to be aware of that as the parent. But this is another one of those things where if you haven't been through it, you haven't seen 4 years down the road, you haven't seen 2 years down the road, you don't know how things change. So it's just good to know in advance that there's not any one person that's going to just crush your the development of your kid. No. Because
hey, listen, I say this all the time, like, what are your people's intentions? Mm-hmm. You can find out really fast if someone was talking about I had to talk to someone about just an issue that we had, and I said, listen, man, why wouldn't you talk to me about this? And it's like, oh, I don't know. I said, listen, if you think that if I give you advice based on my pocketbook, like, it hurts me. Like, if you're doing something that you think is good for you, and I'm upset with you because I didn't make money off of you, or you're worried about my feelings, I said, then you need to fire me. Mm-hmm. If that's the way it is, I'm not greasy, man. And like these guys that do this, you're just a greaseball. And any parent that listens to this, I want you to actually understand that someone has to go into your pockets, right? You have to go to this, and you have to pay me, and they're the hockey coach. I can't use the word off, but dumb to off. You don't need them. They're greasy, slimy. You don't need them. I don't. And I know a lot of people say, "Oh yeah, easy for you to say." No, I'm telling you, go play somewhere else. And if you're, and if you can't get on a team somewhere else, then you're wasting a lot of your time anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
If you, because that means you're like on the bottom of the barrel of the league, so you're probably better off in a different league.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. I think that's a good spot to stop. I had a couple other things, but I don't really feel like it's worth talking about. So I think we'll cap it there. So that's going to wrap up another mini series. How about that? Which I like doing these. So we're going to do another Q&A, like I said at the start of the episode. So you're going to have another week to ask questions, drop them in, and we'll put together as many as we can and try to get through them for the next episode on anything to do with our last six for this coaching series. So I'll look for those, and we'll see you guys next week for that. See you there.